Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
So thinking back a few days, while it was, you'll recall, the Patriots who couldn't manage a comeback in last Sunday's Super Bowl, this patriotic ad greeted more than 100 million Americans at halftime, urging the nation to fight anew to once again achieve global greatness.
This country can't be knocked out with one punch. We get right back up again, and when we do, the world's going to hear the roar of our engines. It's halftime, America, and our second half's about to begin.
Clint Eastwood there mixing car and boxing and football metaphors to deliver a halftime pep talk. The ad has resonated throughout the blogosphere. It's provoked some argument over whether Eastwood is a Republican or a Democrat, whether Detroit's calamities are something to be learned from or avoided altogether. And joining us now is James Warren, Chicago columnist for our partner, The New York Times and Chicago News Cooperative. James is also a correspondent for The Atlantic. Welcome back to the program, James Warren.
Pleasure from the heart of auto country, and I guess this morning, what, apparently the heart of Rick Santorum country?
Yes.
I don't know about that.
Indeed. Well, that's an interesting point. We'd love to get your view on Santorum's surge here, but think about for a minute this idea of halftime in America. Is it a slogan? Is it a bumper sticker? Or does it really resonate?
Well, you know, I actually thought it was an enormously effective piece of propaganda, ultimately for a line of cars that I don't think are particularly good. And there was a rich irony, presumably already pointed out, of Eastwood, who epitomized, you know, if you think back, right, epitomized sort of the move toward the angry, alienated individual during the Reagan era, now fronting, you know, for teamwork and community. And I think there's some important notions there, particularly at a time we've got a whole lot of problems. You can come to a place like Illinois with gargantuan budget deficits and sky-high underfunded pension liabilities, right? I mean, even worse in California, right up there, down there with Rhode Island. I think on a whole series of matters, there's a need for a collective action, and there's absolutely no suggestion that it's ever gonna come. As far as the halftime, the word halftime and that notion, you know, I think, you know, I saw it as mere device. Halftime of a football game, okay, not the most sophisticated thing, but, you know, the larger point seemed to be that we're at some critical moment, and, you know, whether we win the game depends on how we play it, and that we've overcome previous battles. And if I'm the Obama camp, the Obama reelection campaign, you know, I would analyze that thing rather closely. Because, you know, who knows, you may have a, you know, 2012 counterpart to Reagan's stunningly successful reelection at the Morning in America, which, if I remember, John, I think came at a point where, you know, Mondale campaign in 84 actually was showing some early signs of strength, and there was a lot of conventional wisdom about Reagan being weak.
Although I would say, Jim, in 84, that 84 election was Reagan's to lose, and you know, Mondale had a really uphill battle. And Morning in America, while it was a brilliant slogan, it didn't challenge anything and bring down the conventional wisdom. And I think the Republicans have a you know, a stiff headwind with Obama as an incumbent and declining unemployment right now, and all the divisions among the candidates. I don't necessarily see this slogan as applying to one party or the other.
Well, oh no, I agree. I'm just saying, as a potential you know, matter of propaganda, which you could use to your benefit by underscoring these issues of sort of collective action and overcoming a slew of particular hardships that we're facing. I find the Republican sort of counterattack on this very curious, very revealing, almost as if what some of them dislike is that this ad says America is coming back, and that given a decent break and a strong investment in American workers, they can still do and make great things and can win together. And delivered by what a guy who I assume is an avowed, you know, conservative, somebody who a particular generation of conservatives grew up as you know, holding as at least sort of a, some sort of cultural idol.
Well, you know, let's talk about the sort of overall meta kind of message here, and that is that America's in a game and that we have to win and we constantly have to win. You know, is that metaphor something that maybe needs to be dispensed with, that in a sense a much more comforting message to America right now would be, you know, settle down, forget about the winning thing. Let's just make life better for the people in our communities. We don't have to prove anything to the rest of the world anymore. Nobody can articulate that message. Nobody has the guts to, but maybe that's the reassuring message out in the shadows.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. And again, I see, you know, some of the focus on the halftime imagery just, you know, is a function of the fact they got that minute or however long that thing was at halftime of a football game, and they came up with, you know, the not necessarily all too subtle notion of sort of reprising a coach's, you know, halftime speech, which, you know, I suspect is not necessarily all that dramatically different from what, you know, Tom Coughlin, the Giants coach, you know, was saying right about that time to his, you know, 40 or 50 guys who were behind a few points.
And, well, that worked. That definitely worked.
And for anybody who's played high school or college sports, I mean, you know, it usually doesn't get much more subtle than that.
But it's also a defense, don't you think, of Chrysler, of the bailout that they received, of the help they got from the federal government. I mean, that's one of the ways in which I heard it.
No, and I would totally agree. And all you got to do is be living in this part of the country and be pretty sensitive to, you know, what played out the last couple of years. And as far as a whole slew of jobs that were maintained, you know, don't necessarily, you know, put aside the argument of whether the government should be bailing out endangered companies. And if you, you know, look around a state like Illinois or Indiana, look at, you know, not just the auto plants, you know, the Ford auto plant on the south side of Chicago, which is going, last I knew, was actually going three shifts a day, but look at all the suppliers. That action had enormous practical impact. And in a state like this, where you've got essentially double-digit employment / underemployment, you know, I don't necessarily think that there is the, you know, the qualms about that action that we'll find in some policy circles and, you know, certainly on, you know, some, you know, in the right-wing blogosphere.
Well, we will see if, you know, Obama picks that up as a real campaign issue. He certainly talked about it a bunch over the last couple of months. And, you know, I guess I do wonder whether Detroit as a national metaphor, do Americans look to Detroit as, yes, we can do what Detroit did? I wonder. But we sent this message out to our listeners. Here's what Derek had to say. What kind of analogy is that? If we're at halftime, how long is the second half going to last? David Lupo, are we the Giants or the Broncos? Sarah Elizabeth Canito said, maybe for rich Hollywood, I think Detroit might beg to differ on the halftime question. But we're in the red zone, says Kimberly Bunting. We can either score or kick the ball back to our competition. Dana Franchitto says, depends on what you mean by America. The corporate community is thriving, to be sure, while most of the rest of us are struggling. But does America have to be number one in the world? Just what does that mean anyways? A bit of humility would not hurt American society on all levels. And then finally, Hugh Appett says, I wouldn't want to base any policy or make any momentous decisions about where America is in its history based on an ad in the Super Bowl. Jim?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can stipulate and agree with everything, you know, some of those folks said, particularly about, you know, the less than subtle metaphor, sort of the almost, you know, militaristic, confrontational aspect of it, and still wonder whether there is not a bona fide need, as that ad suggests, for sacrifice and cooperation and tackling and essentially that's winning a whole slew of problems around us, so I think, which all too many people don't necessarily appreciate. If you're Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of the city of Chicago, or Pat Quinn, the governor of the state of Illinois, one of your real problems in dealing with some stratospheric problems, I mean, stunning, John, stunning underfunded pension liabilities for one, is the inability to get rank-and-file constituents to appreciate the enormity of the problem. And it's almost as if nothing is going to happen until the garbage is no longer picked up and the street lights are off and on and on and on. And I think there's, you know, there's a real challenge to the political system. And to that extent, the notions of cooperation, collective action, I think, you know, potentially resonate if you can link them successfully to a slew of challenges.
The question is, who can mobilize it? That's for sure. James Warren, Chicago columnist for our partner, the New York Times and Chicago News Cooperative. He's also a correspondent for The Atlantic. He joined us from Chicago. Thanks as always, James.
See you guys.
And we want to get your comments on that as well. Is it halftime in America or not? 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can post to our website, thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. It's not halftime this hour. This is The Takeaway.